But I thank our brother for those messages and song, praise God, this evening, that in Christ that there is new life, and it is life abundant. Christ coming into the heart, he transforms the heart, and he brings new life, abundant life. And it is our prayer that you might enter into and experience even that life. You'll forgive me, I'm going to get rid of the jacket. It's either me or the jacket tonight. Warm in here. We're turning to the Old Testament, to the book of Numbers, and to the chapter 10. The book of Numbers, chapter 10. The book of Numbers, the chapter 10. We're going to read just from the verse 29 of the chapter. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, Leave us not, I pray thee, Forasmuch as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, and thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey, to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word to each of our hearts. Let's just bow together briefly in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for the messages and song that we have heard this evening. We rejoice that in Christ there is pardon. But more than that, we thank thee that there is new life. And Lord, we thank you for thy precious word. We thank thee that it is a light unto our path. We also thank thee that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Lord, we ask that as we come to thy word, that faith might be born in individual hearts even this evening. To that end, I cry unto thee for help. Lord, be a mouth to me this evening. Give me words from thyself. And we pray that by thy Spirit that thou would supply them even to hearts here this evening. So, Lord, close us in with thyself. Be thou our help, for we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. I want to draw your attention this evening to an Old Testament character, Numbers chapter 10. We read in the verse 29, And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. In these words, we are introduced to a man by the name of Hobab. Much confusion surrounds his identity. Some believe that he and Jethro were one and the same. However, we're told in verse 29 that he was the son of Raguel. And when we go back into the earlier chapters, we find Jethro there being referred to as Reuel or Raguel. And as such, being the son of Raguel, Hobab was therefore not Jethro, but rather he was Jethro's son. And as we come into this chapter, we find his thoughts now going towards his elderly father. His father had earlier returned to the land of Midian. They say that absence makes the heart fonder. This was certainly true in the case of Hobab. He missed his father's company and he missed him deeply. Considering returning home to be with them, Moses reached out the hand of friendship. With great sincerity, he urged him not to return to the land of Midian, but rather to travel with them to the promised land. And you know, this invitation is even more amazing when we consider that Hobab was not an Israelite. He was by birth a Midianite. And yet, despite his birth, we find Moses here reaching out the hand of friendship and inviting him to travel with him to the promised land. And like Moses tonight, I would like to extend to you a similar invitation. An invitation to travel with us to the promised land. Indeed, when we come into the final book of the New Testament and we come to the final chapter, we have there a final invitation. We read in Revelation 22 and the verse 17, "And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come." And this invitation to come was given not only by the Spirit, but it was also given by the bride, which is the church. You see, tonight, not only the Spirit is inviting you to come, but the saints of God, those who have been redeemed, are also inviting you. They're inviting you to rise up and to journey with them to the promised land. The hymn writer wrote, "We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost and lone. We want you over there." And you know, tonight we don't want to leave you in your sin. And as such, as Moses invited Hobab to travel with them to the promised land, we would invite you tonight to rise up and to leave your sin and to come to Jesus Christ and to begin that journey to the promised land. Now, if you receive tomorrow an invitation to go to a dinner, you might decide to go or you might decide not to go. But if you were to receive 10 different invitations to go to that same dinner, you would probably say, "It's vital. It's vital that I go to that dinner." And you see, tonight, not only is the Savior inviting you to come, but the Spirit of God is inviting you to come. And more than that, the Scriptures are inviting you to come. And more than that, the saints of God, the saints on earth and the saints in heaven, they're inviting you tonight. They're saying to you, "Come, I come to the cross. Come to the Savior and travel with us to that heavenly land." And I wonder this evening, have you come to Christ? Can you maybe already say that you're on that journey? If not, then we invite you to come and to trust the Savior this evening. And so I want to simply tonight draw your attention to this invitation. I think we notice firstly here the proposal. Hobab was no stranger. It seems that he had dwelt with the children of Israel for some considerable time. And as such, he had shared their food and he had enjoyed their fellowship. However, Moses now inviting him to come with him to the promised land. You notice the peril was real. Knowing the way would not be easy, we read in verse 29, "And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite." You notice here that he was by birth a Midianite. When we go forward to chapter 31, we discover that the sins of the Midianites were so grievous that the Lord had commanded Moses to go to battle with them. He rising up and taking the armies of Israel and unsheathing its sword, they were to slay their kings and their warriors and burning down their castles. They were also to slay their wives and their male children. And as such, of Hobab receiving this invitation to travel to the promised land had rejected it, he going back to that land, then he would have been slain. And similarly, the rejecting of the invitation to travel to heaven is not a minor matter with minor consequences, but it is a major matter with major consequences. It leads to eternal death. Indeed, Noah inviting the men of his day to rise up and to come into the ark. Peter then taking up the subject in the New Testament and speaking there of the Savior's death. He said in 1 Peter 3 verse 19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And we find that the men of Noah's day rising up and despising the invitation to enter into the ark. Not only were their bodies swept away in the raging torrents of the flood, but we're told here that their spirits or their souls were now in prison. And it's interesting to note that the word prison there is translated as hell in 2 Peter chapter 2 in the verse 4. In other words, they rejecting the invitation to enter into the ark. Neither souls. Their souls were lost. You see, it is not the Lord who damns men, but it is men who damn men, refusing to believe they imprison their own souls. You know, way back in the early 1500s, two brothers were born in the little town of Noyon in France. Growing up in the same home, they had the same ancestors. They lived in the same environment. They had the same early influences. John was very serious and studious. And he wrote one of the world's greatest books, The Institutes of Christian Religion. His brother, on the other hand, pursued a life of sin and wickedness and dying. His soul was lost. What made the difference between these two men? It was at the age of 23 that John Calvin might come to the cross and trust in Christ. He began on that road that leads to heaven. You see, my friend, your eternal destiny this evening depends not upon your birth. It depends not upon your religion. It depends not upon your intellect, but it depends upon what you have done with Christ. Maybe you say tonight, but I live a good life. I have never committed murder. I've never committed blasphemy. I go to the house of God. I seek to do the best that I can. Let me tell you tonight, my friend, it does not take great corruption to damn a man in hell. It simply takes great carelessness. It is simply a rejecting of the invitation of the gospel, that invitation to rise up and to come to Christ. You see, tonight we're gathered around serious business. We're gathered around the message of the gospel. And my friend, your eternal destiny depends upon that. It depends upon what you do with the Lord Jesus. Not only was the peril real, but you notice the period was restricted, urging Hobab to rise up and to come with them to the promised land. We read in verse 33, and they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them, in the 3 days' journey. They had been in Mount Zion now for almost 1 year. However, as Moses now began to speak, the cloud which had gone before them began to move. In fact, we're told it went a 3 days' journey. According to historians, it moved 8 miles on the first day to a place called Tabra. Abiding there for 1 month, it then moved to Hazeroth and then into the wilderness of Paran. And as such, in receiving this invitation to go with them to the promised land, Hobab had literally only hours to make up his mind. Soon it would be too late to go to the promised land. And you see, the invitation of the gospel is not only a royal invitation, but it is a restricted invitation. It is extended only for a very short time. Indeed, the Lord speaking, my to the man of Noah's day, he said there in Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And maybe you've read that verse and then you read on and you said, yes, that's true. He said he wouldn't always strive, but did he not continue to strive with them for 120 years? To you and to me, 120 years is a long, long period of time. But if you stop and consider how long man lived in that day, my, you will quickly discover that he pleaded with them for just about one-eighth of their lives. You see, the invitation of the gospel, although it is repeated frequently, it is not repeated forever. It will eventually be withdrawn. You know, many years ago in Italy, there was a prince who was famous for his forbearance, having often forgiven his servant. His servant one day came in before him wearing a cap upon his head, asked why he covered his head in the presence of the king. My, he said that he had got a cold and he was simply protecting himself. The prince, tiring of his rebellion, he said, sir, I will take care that you never catch a cold again. And with those words, he gave the order for his guards to come and to nail his cap to his head. You see, as that prince's tolerance, that prince's forbearance eventually came to an end, so Christ pleads with man. He invites man. He says, come with me. But there will come a time when he will plead no more. The writer said, O turn where the Savior in mercy is speaking, and steer for the harbor light. For how do you know but your soul may be drifting over the dead line tonight? And what a privilege it is to come to the house of God. What a privilege it is to hear the invitation of the gospel. But my friend, that invitation will not always be extended. There may come a time, there will come a time, when the Lord will speak no more. My, he says to you tonight, come thou. My, come and journey to the promised land. But my friend, there's no guarantee that he'll speak to you again. No guarantee that that invitation will be repeated in another occasion. Notice also here that the promise was rich because seeking to persuade him to come, he said at the end of verse 29, and we will do thee good. That word good is variously translated throughout the pages of the Old and the New Testament. It is sometimes translated as pleasant, at other times it is translated as rich, and sometimes it is rendered as happy. In other words, why this way seemed to be a hard and a difficult way, he was indicating that if only he would come, if only he would come, there would be many riches. And more than that, it would be pleasant. You see, while the Christian path at times may seem rigorous, it is also rich. It brings many blessings and it brings many benefits. Indeed, Paul, lifting his pen and writing unto the Ephesian believers, he reminded them that they had been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And you notice there that little word, all. In blessing them, he held back not a single blessing. Indeed, the psalmist said in the Psalm 84, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. You see, God calls man not to make them unhappy, but he calls man to make them happy. He wants to do them good. You know, the cynical journalist H.L. Mencken said, Puritanism is the haunting fear that someone, somewhere, may be happy. Another cynic said concerning the gospel, my, that it damages the soul, renders it hard and gloomy, deprives it of the sunshine and happiness. And you know, is that not the common view today? Many people imagine that God calls men to salvation in order to end their life, in order to make them miserable. But I want to tell you, my friend, those that tell you that might do not know what they are talking about, because they have never tasted of Christ. They have never come to the Savior. I can tell you tonight that once I walked in this world, once I served the God of this world, but there came a time when I came to Jesus Christ. And I can tell you from walking both roads, there is no life like the Christian life. There is no life like serving the Lord. Christ calls men to the cross not to bind them, not to make them miserable, not to take away their lives, but to give them life. And more than that, to give them life that is abundant. Oh, tonight he wants to forgive your sin. He wants to make your life worth living. And I wonder tonight, as we give out that invitation, come thou with us. Will you rise up tonight? Will you come to the cross? Will you begin to journey even towards heaven? But I think we notice here not only the proposal, but I want you to notice secondly, there was a problem. While encamped at Sinai, Hobab had been quite content to remain with the children of Israel. However, they now pulling up their stakes, things were changing. Giving his reason why he no longer wanted to go with the children of Israel to the promised land. You notice there was a problem of family. Look at verse 30. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. Canaan was not his land. While his sister was married into the children of Israel, he was by birth a Midianite. When we go into the earlier chapters, we find that as well as Sapphira, who was married to Moses, that he had six other sisters. In Exodus chapter 18, we find them there, all accompanying their father back down into the land of Midian. And Hobab, knowing that if he accepted this invitation and he went with Moses, that the likelihood was that he would never see by his family again. And because of those connections, he said, Moses, I will not go. And why the love of family and friends is to be commended, it at times can also become a curse. It must never be permitted to stop us coming to the Savior. Indeed, the Lord inviting a certain man to come after him, we read in Luke chapter 9 in the verse 59, and he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And he putting his loyalty to his earthly father before his heavenly father, the Lord here condemned him. Love to Christ must be paramount. It must come before every other call. Was that not the failure of Herod? My, he put Herodias before God. And hearing her request to put John the Baptist to death, he rejected Christ and he rejected the gospel and he had John beheaded. Lot's wife, loving her friends and loving Sodom more than God, what did she do? She turned her back and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And I wonder tonight, is that what is stopping you coming to Christ? Family. Perhaps friends. I can remember when I was in my early teens sitting in gospel meetings. I can remember the Spirit of God working in my heart, challenging me. But as I sat in those meetings, all that I could think was I had two older brothers in the city of London. And if they were to come home, I knew that they'd want to take me out into certain places and do certain things. And I feared that if I told them that I was a Christian, I couldn't go. And I was afraid. Afraid of hurting them. Afraid, of getting on the wrong side of them. But my friend, how foolish I was. Because by putting off Christ and being willing to go with them, what was I doing? I was simply accompanying them on the road that led to hell. My Christ spoke to my heart and saved me. And saving me then was able to be a witness. I wonder tonight, is that what's stopping you coming to Christ? Is that what's stopping you becoming a Christian? A fear of family. Fear of going home and telling a father or mother, you can't do certain things anymore. You can't lie because, you're a Christian. Afraid of telling a partner that now you're saved, lest they would cast you aside. Is that what's stopping you coming tonight? Coming to the Savior. Not only was there the problem of family, but there was the problem of fame. Look at verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite. From other scriptures we learn that his father was the priest of Midian. And as such, Hobab had been brought up in idolatry. More than that, his father's title being hereditary, he would one day himself become the priest of Midian. And as a Midianite priest, he being second only to the king, the position would bring great wealth and it would bring great power. And knowing that if he was to go to Canaan, he would have to give it up. He said, no, Moses, I will not go. And is not the reasoning of Hobab the reasoning of many in our day? Because of the love of position and pleasure or profit, they reject the Savior. Indeed, the Lord Jesus himself explaining why it was that men rejected him, he said in John 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Light not only brings life and warmth, but driving back the darkness, it dispels fear. You see, they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, not because his offer was not attractive. He was offering them life, warmth, peace. But it was because they loved their sin. The love of sin and the love of silver, if it's not slain, it will slay your soul. It will bring you down into the darkness of a lost eternity. You know, a man one day who loved a bargain, being asked how he was getting on, he said, I've managed to sign up to 3 magazines every month for just £1. He went on to say that the only problem was, he said, we get one I don't want, one my wife doesn't want, and one neither of us want. My friend, when is a bargain not a bargain? It is when you give up that which is eternal for that which is passing. You see, money can buy a bed, but it can't buy rest. It can buy books, but it cannot buy brains. Only Christ can satisfy. And I urge you tonight, don't sell your soul for some position or some friendship. Your soul is too precious. It is too precious. I think also there was a problem of foes. Had he accepted the invitation to go to the promised land, things would have changed. He would have been engulfed in wars and in conflicts. It would have meant hardship and meant conflict. It would have meant suffering. However, not to go would cost him the promised land and all of his treasures. You see, my friend, while coming to Christ may bring temporary bufferings, it will eventually bring eternal bliss. What we give up will be nothing in comparison to what we gain. In fact, I would say to you tonight, if you come to Christ, my friend, he'll ask you to give up nothing that will harm you, nothing that will rob your soul. But instead, he'll give you peace. He'll give you his presence. And he'll give you heaven. And I wonder tonight, what is it that's stopping you coming to Christ? What is the thing that is blocking your path this evening? Maybe it's not any of the things that I have mentioned. Maybe it is something completely different. But is it worth losing your soul for? Not only the proposal and the problem, but I want you to notice lastly the promise. Moses refusing to accept a negative answer. He said in verse 31, "Leave us not, I pray thee." And in verse 33, we read there, "They departed." The word "there" includes Hobab. However, in Judges chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 4, in the verse 11, we read of his descendants being in the land of the Canaanite. And it seems here that while Hobab, receiving this invitation to travel to the promised land, first said no, that he then changed his mind. And rising up, he then traveled with Moses, and he went to the promised land. In so doing, notice the presence he enjoyed. Look at verse 33. "And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them." The ark speaks of the very presence of Christ. And we find that rising up and journeying to the promised land, the Lord not only went with them, but he went before them. You see, while the path to heaven may have its problems, it has a presence. The Lord goes with us. Many years ago, a man visiting a little woman in Aberdeen, he going into the house, he said to the little woman, "They tell me that Christ visits here." The wee woman looked at him and said, "Nay, sir, you're mistaken. He dinna visit here. He lives here." And yes, if you come to Christ, there will be difficulties, there will be problems. But I tell you, you travel not on your own. My friend, not only will the Lord go with you, but he will go before you. He'll make the rough way straight. He's able to fill the valleys. Maybe you're saying tonight, "I'd love to get saved. But how could I go home and tell my father, tell my mother, tell my neighbors that I have come to Christ?" My friend, you'll not go alone. The Lord will go with you. In fact, he'll go before you. And he'll prepare the way for you. Oh, journeying, then only the presence he enjoyed. Notice the protection he enjoyed. Verse 34, "And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day, and they went out of the camp." The cloud not only protected them from the burning rays of the sun, but as a pillar of fire at night, it warded away the wild and devouring beasts. We discover that as they began that journey, now the Lord every morning except the Sabbath, he sent down the manna for them to eat. You see, in Christ there is not only pardon, but there is protection and provision. He will shelter you and he will supply you. You say, "Preacher, if I got saved, I might have to give up certain things. How would I pay my bills?" I tell you, the Lord provides. The Lord will provide. Yes, there will be enemies, but as the cloud stood between them and those enemies, the Lord will shield you. The Lord will protect you. Also the place he enjoyed, because in Judges 4 verse 11, we find his descendants pitching their tents in the plain of Zanum. Now they finally came into the promised land. And you see, bringing you out of your depravity, the Lord will not leave you, but he'll eventually bring you into his dwelling. You see, he loses none. He loses none along the way. The hymn writer said, I'm bound for the promised land. I'm bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I'm bound for the promised land. And I'm glad tonight that I can tell you that I'm bound, not because of something I have done, but because of Christ. I'm bound for the promised land. And I wonder, my friend, will you come with us? Will you come with us? Charlotte Elliot was brought up in Grove House in Clappenham, in the city of London. On one occasion, Dr. Susan Mellon from Geneva, speaking to her about her soul, she became very touchy. In fact, she told Mellon to mind his own business. A few days later, she, thinking about what he had said, she came to realize her error, and she trusted Christ as her own and personal Savior. And taking up her pen, she wrote those words, just as I am, without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And you know, tonight, like Moses, I would say to you, will you come with us? There's many in this meeting tonight, and we're on the road to heaven, not because of our works, but because of Christ's work, not because of what we have done, but because of what Christ has done upon the cross. There was a time we trusted him as our Savior, and because of that, we're on that narrow way that leads to heaven. And tonight, I will reach out the hand and would say to you this evening, will you come with us? Will you journey with us to heaven? Will you journey with us? Will you come? Come to Christ. Will you trust him tonight as your own and personal Savior? And then begin the journey that leads to heaven and that leads to home. I trust tonight that you'll answer, and you'll answer in the positive. I'm coming, just as I am, without one plea, but that thou bids me come to thee. I trust you'll come. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer. And as we bow together in prayer, could I say, if you're here and you're not seeing, and you would love to respond, love to join with us, then we're at the door. We'd be loved to speak to you and point you to our Savior, who's able to save you, and he's able to bring you to heaven. Father in heaven, we thank thee that Christ has done it all. We thank thee that he has shed his blood and that he rose again for our justification. And we ask, Lord, if there are those in our meeting this evening and they're still in their sin, still in that broad road that leads to destruction, we ask, Lord, tonight that they might come to the foot of the old rugged cross, and tonight that they might trust thee and begin that journey that leads to home to heaven. We thank you, Lord, for many in our gathering tonight who are on that road. And we thank the Lord that there are no uncertainties in our mind. We know that because Christ, my, has saved us, he will bring us into that land for all of eternity. So, Lord, hear this, our prayer. Part us even now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. For we pray in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. Amen.